Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, How Confident Can We Be That Jesus Is the Christ by His Miracles? And I want to ask, how do we know that we are right in saying that Jesus is the true Savior of the world and the true Christ of God? What miracles has Christ done that were supernatural and outside the normal laws of nature? And does Jesus show his superpower, if you will? And are there eyewitnesses that saw these miracles?
Grace to you and peace from the God of all power and all wisdom and all strength, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, last week we started a sermon series throughout this month to look at how can we be sure that Jesus is indeed the true Christ of God. Remember that? Because we believe that, but there's a whole lot of other people in the world that don't agree with us. And they're just as equally convinced that their man is the Christ. You can take the Buddhists, they think it's Buddha. You take in the Hindus, they think it's Krishna or whatever other god. And you get the Muslims, and they're dead set certain that Muhammad is the man to follow. And so we believe Jesus is the Christ. So how can we be sure that we are right and they're wrong, since we're all equally convinced? Well, last week we started a contest, remember? We had the little bell. We had a match between Jesus and all contenders, Jesus versus all comers, with respect to the Old Testament prophecies, or prophecies in general. And we saw what was the result of that match. It was not even a match. It was a rout. Jesus trounced the competition. In 20 minutes, it was like 74-0, Jesus wins. And so the Old Testament prophecies prove it. Today, I'd like to look at that same question with you, but from a different angle, namely, the miracles. Let's put them into the arena of miracles. Who has the miracles and who doesn't? Who is the true Christ and who are the pretenders? Let's see Jesus versus all comers with respect to signs and wonders. And who proves that he indeed is the Christ and who shows that he is not? So let's take a look at that today and see what we can learn. First of all, miracles. Aren't they fantastic? Don't you love miracles? Signs and wonders? Well, actually, you can talk about miracles in a broad sense, right? The stars in the billions, the sun, the globe, the beautiful earth floating in the midst of space, all the wonders of creation. You can look at yourselves. Think about, are you a miracle? Say amen if you're a miracle. You really are a miracle. I mean, you started as a speck inside of your mother, 5/1,000th of an inch, and in that tiny single cell was all the information to make the complicated eye, the fantastic ear, a complicated brain, pancreas, liver, kidneys, reproductive organs that are going to time release come at around 13 years or so old. And for at least women, you start to shut down being able to make babies around 40. All this is in the single cell, 5/1,000th of an inch, all that information. Is that a miracle? Do you know in an adult human being, if you were to stretch out your DNA, which is all coiled up inside your body, like yarn around a ball, if you were to stretch it out, physics fact book on the internet says they've calculated it would go from the earth to the sun 93 million miles, yours, and back again. That's 186 million miles, and it'd do that 68 times. Your DNA, it's also said, could go from the earth to the moon and back 25,000 times. And all that was contained in the first tiny speck, which is not even seen to the naked eye. That tiny single cell you began. Is that a miracle? Do we have a miracle working God? Yes. It's all around us every day. So that's miracles, though, in the broad sense. What I'm talking about today are signs and wonders in the narrow sense, namely something supernatural. Outside of the normal laws of nature. When you see it, you say, we never saw anything like this, right? That's what we're talking about today. And since we're setting up a contest, Jesus in one corner and the other contenders in the next, we got to set up some rules here. It's got to be a supernatural thing, okay, outside the laws of nature. It's got to be of super great power, okay, superpowers. We can't, you know, the devil and the Antichrist, the Bible says, work little miracles too. Just like when Moses was fighting against Pharaoh's magicians, they copied the first couple miracles, and God let them do that to mock them, really, because then he just kicks on the afterburners like an F-16 taken off a carrier deck, and they're left behind pushing a little pink baby stroller, okay? So it's got to be super great power, and it's also got to be eyewitnesses. We're not accepting legends here. We're not accepting hearsay. That doesn't count. It's got to be eyewitness accounts, okay? So there's the rules. Let's bring forth the contenders first from their corner. Muhammad, Krishna, and Buddha, step forward. Okay, so let's start with Muhammad, all right? Because he's really big in the news today, right? Muhammad, do you have any miracles to bring forward? Well, do you know that the Quran in Surah 29, verse 50, people were demanding a miracle from Muhammad, saying, prove to us that you're from God, show us a miracle. And his answer in so many words is, I am no miracle worker. I just warn people, I don't work miracles. All right, so by his own testimony, Muhammad says, nope, I don't have any. Of course, in the Muslim tradition after the Quran, they created a few miracles for him, such as he used to preach leaning against a date palm tree. And one day he decided not to preach there anymore, so the tree became sad, and he went over and comforted it. I don't know, what did he give him a tissue? I don't know. No, he did something, okay, they say, to comfort the tree. That's his miracle, but that's not even in the Quran, okay? So no eyewitnesses, no super great power, so none for him. In his own testimony, I'm no miracle worker. Okay? Let's bring forth Krishna of the Hindus. Now, they have other gods, but let's take Krishna, number one god for them, really. What's his miracle? Well, it's said of him that he took 16,108 wives. Does that sound like a miracle to you? But that's not his miracle. His miracle was that he was able to be with them all at one time and make each woman think that he had only eyes for her. Okay, that's a miracle a lot of men are still trying to pull off today, right? With varying degrees of success. But what is that? That's not a miracle. That's a legend. That's hearsay. There are no eyewitnesses. It's no really superpower. And frankly, even if it were true, it'd only prove him to be a cruel god. A woman who sees a man who does such a thing today would call him a jerk, right? Okay, so he's not good even. Buddha, step forward. He has none. In fact, it's all, if there's anything, it's legend and hearsay. No eyewitnesses whatsoever. And it was once said of him that he tamed a raging elephant. Running through the streets, he said, calm down, and it calmed down. People do that today, all right? This is all no great superpower, no eyewitnesses, hearsay and legend. And so these things wouldn't stand up in court. They don't stand up in ours. So what do we get from the contenders? Jesus versus all comers. All comers are trying, and they get zero, zilch, nada, nothing, zip, zero on their side with respect to anything to offer to prove that they are indeed the true Christ, the man to follow. Now let's bring forth Jesus. Jesus, would you please step forward, all right? What do we have for Jesus? Answer, Jesus buries the competition. Amen? Trounces. I mean, he absolutely, it's not even a match. It's a rout. Once again, Jesus wins with respect to miracles and signs to prove that this is the guy, the one guy in history that we are to follow, attended by signs and wonders from God to prove his identity and his message. For example, he commands the storm at sea, walks on water, cures a leper, opens the eyes of a man born blind, casts out devils, and he raised the dead. So, different league. This is like Pop Warner versus the World Series, okay? How is Jesus in a different league? Well, number one, think of the super frequency of his miracles. These guys, even if you look them up on Wikipedia, it's like one page, and it's like hardly anything, and it's legend and hearsay. Jesus, it's like, goes on. Jesus has 37 recorded specific miracles in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is. And but that's not all. What do we read here in John 20? John, who's an eyewitness, he says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So how many miracles does our Savior have, Jesus? 37 plus untold millions. In fact, go to another chapter. John says, were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So when you get to Jesus, it's like, all right, there's some right there. And we're writing more miracles of what he did. And here's even more. And it just keeps going. And it's like the Energizer Bunny, right? It just keeps going and going and going more and more to prove that he's the Christ. He's the guy we're supposed to believe in, all right? So Jesus, when he would heal, he healed people of every disease and infirmity and cast out spirits. Not all those are recorded specifically. Just the 37 are specific, but they tell us he's good doing this all over the place. Secondly, his are in a different league because they're in superpower. They're much greater in power than anyone else. Let's take a look at one of them just for our fun and encouragement here. Mark chapter 4, they're all in a boat. You remember the story? And a great storm of wind arose. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. They're sinking. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care that if we perish? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And they were afraid. And he said to them, Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? And they were filled with awe and said to one another, Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? Is that your Savior? Is that your Jesus? He speaks to the nature and it obeys. This is a sign and wonder to prove to you that he's the Christ, the man to follow. Super great power. And by the way, it's not all. He raises the dead and such, where people say, we never saw anything like what this guy's doing. All right, how about this one also? His miracles are of super frequency, superpower, and public. You know, he's not hiding around doing these in his closet. We read there in John chapter 6, Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he saw that a multitude was coming to him. And he said to his disciples, How are we to buy bread that these people may eat? Philip says, Hey, if we worked a year, 200 denarii, we couldn't even feed them a little. Jesus says, Make the people sit down. The people sat down and number about 5,000. There's a lad here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted. And when they'd eaten their fill, he told his disciples, Gather up the fragments left over that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he'd done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who's to come into the world. So wouldn't you love to be able to do that? This is your Savior, though. Can he multiply food for you? He starts out with 12 baskets. He feeds 5,000. The 5,000, the 12 baskets are filled at the end. How does this happen? He's powerful. And he did it where? In public. This is not, as remember when Festus was speaking against Paul, saying, Paul, you're crazy. Paul, you're mad. Your great teaching is turning you mad. And Paul's answer is, I am not mad. I'm speaking the sober truth, for I know that the king knows these things, for these were not done in a corner. Right? Amen? Not done in a corner. These were done publicly. And at Pentecost, Peter was able to say, Men of Israel, hear the words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, which you yourselves know. What's he saying? He's saying that everybody saw it. He can bear witness that the public saw all this. This Jesus was delivered up according to the plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So super frequency, super power in public, and eyewitness accounts. That's the next one. You know, here Jesus is in a different league. The other guys, legends, traditions, campfire songs, you know. You catch the fish, it's this big. By the time, you know, you're done at the campfire, it was this big. That kind of thing. Not so with Jesus, okay? This was eyewitness. We read here again in John that in his gospel, he says in verse 24 of 21, "This is the disciple who's bearing witness to these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." In other words, who saw this? Eyewitness. He says, "I saw it." What did he see in John's gospel? What did he see? Jesus made the water into wine, John chapter 2. Jesus healed the official's son, John chapter 4. John 5, he healed a man who was crippled for 38 years. Can you see his sorrow? And he raised him up and made him walk. 5,000 people he fed in John chapter 6. In John 6 again, he walked on water, right? My lifeguard walks on water. In John 9, he healed a man who was born blind. And the man said, "Never before on earth has it ever been seen that anyone ever opened the eyes of a man born blind." John says, "I saw it with my own eyes." This holds up in court. In John 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. John says, "I saw it with my own eyes. And I'm bearing witness to you with this." I had a woman at the Friday Fest saying, "Prove to me the Bible." I said, "I can't prove it to you, but I can testify to you about it." And that's what God gives us. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a thing is true and established. We've got countless, millions, thousands here. And we've got John's personal eyewitness. And Peter himself said, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when they were on the mountain and the Lord came and said, 'This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased,' we are with him on the holy mountain," says Peter. Okay, here's one more, a couple more. Jesus fulfilled scripture. You know, Moses, he gives a napkin to a, sorry, I keep saying Moses. Muhammad gave a napkin or whatever to a date palm tree. He comforted a tree, okay? You know, Krishna's sleeping with ladies, women. Buddha's taming an elephant. None of this is predicted. None of this came before. Jesus' miracles were predicted. And that gives you all the more assurance that he performed them. Remember, we read here in Matthew chapter 11, John was in prison. Remember, John the Baptist was in prison. And he sent word by his disciples and said, "Go to ask Jesus, 'Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" Jesus answered, you know, says, "Go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me." What does Jesus expect John to understand by that? Just that he's doing signs out around here or there? He knows that John knows the scripture. And what do we read in Isaiah chapter 35? "Say to those who are of a fearful heart, 'Your God will come and save you.' Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb shall sing for joy." And Isaiah 61, "He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, liberty to the captives." What is the message then to John? John, understand that everything that the scriptures proclaimed, I'm doing. I'm the one to look to, Jesus says. The signs and wonders prove it. Amen? And get this. This is really the quintessential cherry on the sundae for me. Jesus' miracles came out of love. You know, all the other ones, taming an elephant and sleeping with women and all this other kind of stuff, those are not born out of love. They're actually cruel. But Jesus' miracles come out of mercy for salvation and deliverance and care and love for his people. That's the Savior I want. That's the miracle worker I'm looking to. And everything. And so basically, what are we going to say? This is a rout, right? This is not even a competition. Jesus wins by means of the miracles. Now, does God want you to believe in Jesus on account of the miracles? Well, he wants the miracles. He put them there to bolster your faith in the Savior. I mean, Jesus says, "If I'm not doing the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do them, even though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." And Jesus wants to teach us, I command the wind of the sea. God says, look to him. He's able to still the calm and the storms in your life. He has power over the natural elements. He can provide for you. He has power to cast out devils. You can be free. He has power over diseases. You have strength and comfort that he can heal you, will heal you, and give you endurance in the midst of it. He has power over death. When Lazarus was in the tomb, get up. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, why did God give signs and wonders? Just so that you marvel? Just that you're encouraged? Well, those are wonderful things, and that's true. But the purpose was to point us to the message that was to follow the miracle, right? Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Your miracles prove your message, right? When Jesus was going to heal that man that came down through the roof, remember? And he said, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, no one can forgive sins but God alone. This man is speaking blasphemy. And Jesus says, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He says to the paralytic, stand, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And the man walked. Why? To show mercy? Yes. To save him? Yes. But to prove that he has power and authority on earth to forgive sins. Luther said Jesus' miracles are like bells announcing the coming of a message that's true, like the seal on a letter. And the purpose of his miracles are to point you to the message that was to come after the message, to believe it, to know that this is Jesus' identity. He is the Christ. Believe his words. This is my son. Listen to him. Amen? And his greatest miracle, what is it? He dies on the cross, taking all of our sins on the cross. He gets buried, and on the third day, by his own power, raises himself from the dead. That's the greatest miracle amongst millions, right? And great ones. Super miracle. Super power. And what was the super message Jesus attached to that great event? He says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name. So there's the miracle pointing to a true message. The true message is repent, believe on me, and you shall be saved. Isn't that awesome? So we have a stamp of approval that the gospel is God's gospel, and that you will have eternal life and you'll be the subject of miracles. Are you the subject of a miracle already? Guess what? Your eyes, which were once blind to Christ, have now been opened to see him as your Savior. Your ears, which were deaf to his word, now hear it preached and believe it. That's a miracle. Your feet, which were lame and walking in the ways of darkness, are now walking in the paths of life, leaping for joy. And your heart, which was once a heart of stone, has now been made a heart of flesh, alive in Jesus Christ. You're the subject of a miracle. And so it is a route, was what I'm saying to you today. We know Jesus is the Christ, and we know that we're right and the others are wrong, because nobody else, not only don't have any prophecies, they also don't have any miracles. Jesus has all the signs and wonder, books, volumes, encyclopedias, such that the world itself couldn't contain them were they written. I am so confident, and I'm so thankful that I have such a Savior as Jesus, a rock to stand on, and that he's super great in power, super great in frequency, public, eyewitnesses, and done in Scripture, and done for love, because he loves us. And the greatest miracle, I'll end with this, is that we are going to see it with our own eyes, that as Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed and clothed with immortality and live with God forever in his kingdom to come. And that is a miracle of our miracle-working God. I'm thankful that I have such a Savior, a rock, as Jesus to stand on. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Confident Can We Be That Jesus Is the Christ by His Miracles? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.